This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Shao Eek with Kelly Anissa and Tina Camilla in the studio with me today. We are discussing two stories.
The first one is when a doctor debates with an anti-vaxxer. Does that legitimize pseudoscience? We look at TV Al-Hijra's recent panel sessions on the rise of anti-vaxxers and doulas.
And a cartoon uploaded on YouTube Kids came with a hidden message telling kids to take their own lives. We discussed the repercussions of this on children.
And on that note, what's our Twitter poll, Kelly?
So we're asking you, do you monitor your kids' online activity? Yes, no, or I use parental controls. So to join the conversation, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
But before we get to our first story on anti-vaxxers, here's Truth Hits Everybody by The Police.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was The Police with Truth Hits Everybody. And in our first story, we're looking at what is increasingly being passed for truth in science and what happens when scientists take on those who propagate pseudoscience. So TV Al-Hijra, if you watch that channel, recently aired two panel sessions on the rise of pseudoscience practices in healthcare. And this raised the question for me whether the scientific community should consider engaging more with proponents of these alternative practices in order to counter their influence, you know, in a very direct manner. Mm-hmm. So let's listen first to a clip from the analysis panel session on whether vaccines protect or cause harm. The panelists in this session were Dr. Nurul Huda, a freelance medical doctor, and Datuk Dr. Musa Muhammad Nordin, consultant pediatrician and neonatologist.
Saya teruskan dulu. Maknanya 24-48 jam ada mungkin anaphylaxis. Persistent inconsolable crying. Menangis tak henti-henti sampai 3 jam. Itu termasuk dalam FI yang serius. Yeah, yeah. Kita ingatkan tentang, tersambung.
Saya celah sikit tentang yang menangis kan? Dan HHE kan? Hyporesponsiveness episode kan?
Yeah.
InsyaAllah lah, di Malaysia tak ada masalah ini sebab ini, vaksin yang kita guna adalah vaksin yang terkini. IE, 5 serangkai. D, T, A, P, HIP, polio. A, cellular pertussis. Kesan sampingan yang dinyatakan sini adalah bila kita menggunakan vaksin yang lama. Whole cell pertussis. Pertussis ni batuk kokol. Yeah. Batuk, orang Melayu kata batuk 100 hari. Memang seksa lah tengok budak tu batuk. Jadi dengan vaksin yang baru, A cell pertussis, insyaAllah ini tidak merupakan masalah.
Okay, then just last Friday, another panel session looked at whether doulas are birth companions or replacements for doctors. The panelists were Professor Dr. Imelda Balchin, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist from University Malaya Medical Center, and Hayati Muzaffar, a freelance doula. Here's a clip talking about what the doula would do if a mother bleeds during a home birth.
Jika berlaku pertumpahan darah,
boleh tak saya menjelang, Pak?
Sebab Finas bercakap dengan Puan Hayati, seolah-olah Puan Hayati ni bidan terlatih. Ya, sepatutnya doula tak buat langsung
disebabkan
keputusan ini. Yeah, ini decision bukan doula punya decision.
Betul, saya tahu. Tapi jadi memandangkan Puan Hayati selalu bersama dengan ibu tanpa kehadiran bidan dan doktor.
Tanya dekat
sebab
bidan.
Tu saya perlukan jawapan daripada Puan Hayati.
Tak apa-apa, maknanya lain kali kita panggil bidan sebenarnya. Digandingkan
ibu,
kan?
Maksudnya di sini, Puan Hayati tidak tidak mengetahui cara untuk mengendalikan seandainya dalam tempoh 30 minit hingga 1 jam itu atau bagaimana?
That one was quite an exciting debate. So clearly, two very heated discussions looking at two very opposing views. So let's take the vaccination one to start with. The anti-vax movement has been growing globally. And recently, the World Health Organization listed vaccine hesitancy as one of the top 10 health threats for the year. And you talked about this as well, Tina, in a previous show on Daily Digest. So you can find a podcast on that discussion.
And just last week, a 2-year-old boy in Johor Bahru died of diphtheria because he had not been vaccinated against it. And now another 5 children who had been in direct contact with the boy have also been tested positive for diphtheria.
Another movement in direct opposition to safe medical practice is home births supported by extreme doulas. Extreme doulas are those who go beyond their role of being birth companions, they exploit the anxiety faced by expecting mothers and incite fear about giving birth in hospitals. And these doulas convince the parents to give birth at home without any healthcare professionals present.
And according to Professor Chan Yu Quin, consultant obstetric anesthesiologist from University of Malaya, who came on BFM last year, the risk of death for the mother is 3 to 4 times higher if you deliver at home, which is up to 15% of home births, and up to 15% of home births can result in complications like hemorrhage, which is bleeding.
So we may think that these pseudoscience views exist on the fringes of science, but actually the line between mainstream and alternative is becoming increasingly blurred, and especially on the internet and social media, where a lot of these views are being disseminated, there is actually no distinction between science and quack views. So joining us on the line is Dato' Dr. Musa Muhammad Nordin, consultant pediatrician and neonatologist. Dr. Musa had been on that TV Al-Hijra session about vaccination. He's also appeared on BFM very regularly. Dr. Musa, some argue that with mainstream media giving these alternative views a platform, it legitimizes their views. Why did you feel it was important to debate the anti-vax doctor?
This reminds me of what George Mallory said as he prepared to scale the world's highest peak, Mount Everest. He said this in 1923, 3 decades before Sir Edmund Hillary conquered Mount Everest in 1953. Because it is there. Because someone has to do it. Most doctors feel that it is unnecessary and totally pointless because the anti-vaxxers are set in their views. But the more we evade the confrontation, for lack of a better word, the more anti-vaxxers will continue to proliferate and conflate the issue. The truth is, people are simply afraid of the unknown. So what anti-vaxxers do is to hype up the fear factor.
And how did you feel about the outcome of your debate with Dr. Nurul? Do you think your arguments convinced the viewers?
I was actually very surprised about the very positive responses which continued even a week after the debate. There are two sides of the coin. Firstly, would probably not have received the same response many years ago before social media became popular. Today, people can continue watching the interview online long after the interview was over. Don't forget, it was broadcasted at 10 p.m. on a Friday night. Not exactly a very popular time for such a heavy topic. But with the link, people are still watching and sharing it today. In fact, I was told by my friend's 22-year-old daughter that it was trending on Twitter for a whole week. From the feedback, it sounds like many viewers now have a better understanding of how vaccines work, the science and research behind evidence-based medicine, how it relates to the religion of Islam, and why testimonies cannot be compared to 10 years of hard science. And I guess my 34 years as a pediatrician helps, because I have seen far more sick children in my life than my counterpart. Perhaps it was an unfair panel, but then she was a medical doctor and she was the reference point for the anti-vaxxers in Malaysia. But it works both sides. Not many doctors are prepared to be grilled on this topic. You can never be prepared enough. But I suppose my advantage was my experience and maybe even my white hair. I actually analyzed 3 YouTubes on air. There were a total of 262,000 views. A total of 4,537 person gave it a thumbs up, i.e., 97.8%, whilst 101 gave it a thumbs down, 2.2%. This is definitely much less than the 10% that we recorded in one of my BFM interviews on vaccines.
So why are these proponents of pseudoscience proliferating?
these anti-vaxxers and doulas at all are proliferating because of Dr. Google. These days, anyone can be an expert online. Even the terms research and experiments are used frivolously. Research can be 30 minutes on the internet, for instance, while experiment can just be throwing some questions over dinner with a group of friends. We call this pseudoscience. And yes, it is so easy to convince people over the internet because they use very simple language and terms that the public finds acceptable. Which brings to light the fact that doctors today need to be more savvy with the communication tools and lingo of the millennials. But then again, since the history of medicine, doctors have never been known to be good communicators, partly because of the need for patient privacy and medical technicalities, not to mention the lack of time, because doctors are usually swarmed with patients. Doctors never felt it was necessary to spend too much time explaining the facts to patients or their parents, in my case, since my patients are all children. In fact, even today, healthcare professionals take a non-confrontational approach with anti-vaxxers. Your child, your choice. But don't blame me if your child gets infected, God forbid. It is sometimes a waste of time trying to convince anti-vaxxers' parents to reconsider the decision, and it is definitely emotionally draining. That energy can be better spent on parents who are hesitant and unsure about vaccines, but can be easily won over by investing our time, energy, emotions, and empathy, and to understand their concerns and to help them make an informed choice.
And do you think that the scientific community should consider engaging directly with the pseudoscience community as a strategy to counter them?
I agree that the scientific community should play a bigger role in raising awareness about vaccine using the very same tool and language of anti-vaxxers. They use the fear factor freely, something doctors do not favor. But sharing real-life stories of young children or babies suffering unnecessarily because of their parents' choice not to vaccinate will help to show the reality and danger of not vaccinating. We need to be better storytellers. We need to go online, share our stories and experiences wisely, and educate parents on the importance of vaccination.
That was Datuk Dr. Musa Muhammad Nordin, consultant pediatrician and neonatologist, talking about the need to counter pseudoscience arguments about vaccination and safe childbirth, among others. So the BFM interview that Dr. Musa mentioned is available on our podcast as well. Just search for vaccination.
And there's an interesting backstory to the segment with Prof. Imelda, which she posted about on Facebook after the show. She wrote that before the segment went live, she was approached by a woman whose best friend had passed away 5 years ago in a home birth. The home birth had been attended by the very same doula appearing with Prof. Imelda on the TV show. So Prof. Imelda also wrote that it was obvious that the doula who sat next to her had not learned from past mistakes.
Indeed, you know, if you watch that segment, you can see that the doula is very, she tries to be very convincing in the way she presents her side. Although I think it's very clear that Prof. Imelda stands on the side of facts and evidence, and it's just that it can be easy, like I was very amused, Dr. Musa said, convince,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It can be very easy, actually, to convince those who are a little bit uncertain, those of who are perhaps feeling insecure and really need proper reassurance about safety and health of the people that they care about. Mm-hmm. I mean, considering the doula had no remorse over what happened, do you think it was wise for a TV station to give her this platform?
You know, it's always an internal debate that I have with myself. I remember when I was interviewed for this job, I was also asked about whether I would give, because I would be producing the health segment, which is a very science-based show, right? Very fact driven show. Whether I would give a platform to people who are pseudoscientific in their beliefs. And for me, there's a sense of false balance most of the time that people don't understand what balance means in the media. And balance doesn't mean 50-50. It means that it has to be accurately representing what's what the scientific literature says. So if, let's say, out of, you know, 100 paper on climate change, for example, 97% of it says that it's real and it's man-made, then that means 97% of the airtime has to go to climate scientists who are who believes in climate change, and the 3% of that airtime goes to those who are on the other side of the fence, right? Yeah. Because I think Dr. Musa is right. You cannot run away from them. You shouldn't. We shouldn't. Mm. Because then they will occupy that space. They will occupy that void that's left behind by... because no doctors want to engage because they think that, you know, it's a waste of their time or they've got better things to do. But it's really important to engage.
And especially in the digital space, I think we are seeing a profession that has not caught up with using social media and digital content in the most savvy way possible. So it's exactly right. It's a void. It's a void of data. It's a void of evidence-based information. It's a void of information that is that can be easily consumed by the people who are using these platforms. Medical journals are not what reaches out to vaccine hesitant parents or couples who are fearful about hospital births. You can't use medical journals to convince them.
And I also like seeing that, you know, we have these kind of debates happening because not because I want to give them a platform to spread this ideology, but also because I think people should be they should see how these arguments are countered with scientific facts, because most of the time they are only, you know, when you're so interested or you're so invested in something, you don't really look at the other arguments. You're only looking at what you want to see. So I think platforms like this force them to look at both sides of it. So I do think it's very important that, you know, that we have more debates like this, especially now.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, I was following it over on Twitter, like Dr. Musa was saying that it went, it was trending for a week, right? And there were so many doctors that I follow just because of what I do. Yeah. but there's so many doctors that I follow on Twitter, and a lot of them, in fact, were critical of TV Al-Hijra for allowing such a conversation to happen on TV. But, you know, I have to say that I disagree with them because, you know, like you said, Kelly, not only, even if you've already made up your mind, you also still need to know what the other side is going to say, and you need to know how to counter those arguments, because you might be facing the same counter arguments, the same arguments from you know, your friends, your parents, and so on, and you need to be able to respond to that.
And if you have more Dr. Musas, you have more Prof. Imeldas who can be so eloquent in presenting the evidence and the science, I think then we can go a long way in shutting down the conspiracy theories, you know. And, you know, I think also, as you say, Kelly, just having more debate, having more conversation, you know, so it is going to help when you have Ministry of Health, you know, the minister just announced that they are considering making vaccination compulsory. So you need this kind of conversation to take place so that a policy proposal will enter the public sphere fully formed, you know,
And mostly supported.
And also, like I was reading an article that spoke about, so not just debates like what we just saw, I think there should be more programs where, you know, parents or really anyone, even as young as me, like I think we should all be educated on, you know, what vaccines are and about the side effects that they are referring to and whatnot. So I saw this article on The Star about parents wanting more information on the possible side effects. One parent mentioned that she has two children who are fully vaccinated, while the other three only received their vaccinations up to 5 months, because she read online about, you know, what could happen if they got the rest of it. Someone said that he does, another parent said that he does support vaccinations, but in response to the ministry's announcement of making it compulsory, he said that people should be given a choice. So that's, I see a lot of different, a lot of people are very outspoken about it online. I see a lot more support for making it compulsory.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, just one more thing to add. I think a lot of this has to do with the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? The less you know, the more confident you are with your truth,
yes,
your version of the truth,
version,
right?
Yes.
And it takes a while for you to get to that level. I mean, if you see the chart of the Dunning-Kruger effect, it's a U-shaped chart, right? So the less you know, the more confident you are. The more you know, the less confident you are in the real truth. Mm-hmm. And then it takes time for you to know practically everything, and then your confidence in your knowledge goes up again. And I think that, you know, people like Dr. Musa, and Prof. Imelda are at that, you know, extreme end of their knowledge spectrum, so they can speak with confidence. But most of us are in that middle cohort, right? And those who are coming up with
extreme views,
are probably on the other end of that chart.
Yeah, and you know, vaccine hesitancy, fear over hospital births, all of these insecurities that people have about health, it stems from our distrust of the healthcare system and the way it's become and what it's become, I guess. Mm. So, I think healthcare professionals do need to search their souls to think about how they can regain people's confidence in science and in the system again. We're running out of time for this story, and in our next story, we'll be looking at the dangers of YouTube for children. Stay tuned. For that, we'll go to a quick break first with Give Me Some Truth by John Lennon here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.